You can't help being impressed by Mount Shasta when you see it. It is a big mountain, Colorado-sized, in a landscape with nothing else approaching it in height. But it's not the only volcano in the neighborhood. About 30 miles away to the northeast, and much less obvious to the naked eye, is Medicine Lake Highlands. The place has many features and great significance, both geologically and culturally, to the people who lived in and around the highlands for thousands of years. The geological significance makes it attractive for geothermal use, which has been proposed. Let's get an update on the proposal from someone working to keep geothermal out of the highlands. Michelle Bertachevsky is the founder, former executive director, and current senior conservation consultant at the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. Michelle, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I'm very excited to be part of this, speaking to all these people driving somewhere.
Driving somewhere and maybe sitting at home having a chance to get in a second cup of coffee, too. Let's start with the geological significance of Medicine Lake Highlands. Can you give us an overview?
Well, Medicine Lake itself is a shining gem of a lake inside the circle of mountains that forms the ancient caldera that tops Medicine Lake Volcano. And Medicine Lake Volcano is the largest shield volcano in the continental United States. So as a shield volcano, it doesn't stand up, as you said, so tall like Mount Shasta, which is a stratovolcano. And actually, Mount Shasta and Medicine Lake Highlands, the top part of the volcano, are very interconnected, both geographically and in the Native American stories and significance. Geologically, the mountain, the aquifer under the Medicine Lake Highlands is probably the largest water source for the state of California, the largest single water source. It feeds the Fall River Springs, which is the state's largest spring system, and as a water reservoir, underground groundwater reservoir, it holds as much as 40 million acre feet, which it doles out whether we have drought or rainy conditions. It doles out very steadily at the rate of a million acre feet a year to the Fall River Springs, and through that to the whole state of California, the Central Valley Project, and a world-class trout fishery at the Fall River.
Michelle, how does that number of 40 million acre feet compare to a reservoir we might identify with, like, say, the capacity of Shasta Lake or something?
I believe Shasta Lake has I'm not sure I have those numbers exactly in my mind. I've got them in my notes, but
I can look it up here too. But I mean, it sounds like 40 million acre feet is a very significant number.
Yes, it's huge. It's actually as much as all of California's surface reservoirs combined. They're very equal in number.
Okay, and I just looked it up. It's not quite 10 times the capacity of Shasta Lake, which is at 4.5 million acre feet. So that is a significant amount of water. That's an amazing amount of water, and so I can see why there are concerns about any sort of activity going on in there. Also, geologically, are the lava beds off to the north, is that part of the same shield volcano, the Medicine Lake Highlands?
Well, yes, actually, Medicine Lake Volcano created the lava beds. I mean, it's all one big geologic structure, really.
All right, so it makes sense that with the amount of activity going on still under that volcano, that it would be very attractive for energy production.
Well, yes and no, because in the 30 years that since the leases have been awarded back in the 80s, with very little environmental review and absolutely no consultations with Native American tribes. In those 30 years, the geothermal industry has really not uncovered a major resource. And part of the problem is that the resource is 9,000 feet down that's almost 2 miles deep. And it's essentially a dry resource. And so in order to really utilize it for geothermal power, they would have to somehow get huge quantities of water into that rock heat, to produce the steam. And then the steam would have to go 9,000 feet up. And that's never made total sense to any of us, actually. Wouldn't it cool off in those 9,000 feet? It really doesn't make sense to do geothermal development there. I think the resource is too far down. There's a lack of water. The area is a seismic area. Some of the techniques that they want to use for geothermal development, such as acid leaching and hydraulic fracturing, which is a form of fracking. In the oil and gas industry, they call it fracking. In geothermal, it's hydraulic fracturing, but it's really the same thing. It means an injection of chemicals to produce a resource, to pool the resource and fracture the rock. But this is a very seismic area, and hydraulic fracturing could really stimulate seismic activity as it has in other geothermal fields.
We are talking about the Medicine Lake Highlands here on the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Bertyshevsky, who is the founder, former executive director, and senior conservation consultant with the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center, standing in opposition to geothermal exploration on the Medicine Lake Highlands, which, as we're hearing, are both geologically and culturally significant. Join the conversation on the exchange. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments about the direction things are going and the way they should go in your mind. 800-838-3760 to join in by phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Away from the geological realm for just a moment, Michelle, I mean, how long have people occupied the area in and around the Highlands, and how important is the place to them, and on what levels?
Well, the archaeological record goes back 10,000 years, and numerous tribes use the area, the main ones being the Pitt River Tribe and the Modoc Tribe, but the Shastas, the Wintu, the Karooks, people knew about Medicine Lake Highlands even in old times at great distances because of its obsidian. The volcanic activity produces this extremely dense glass-like substance. In fact, Glass Mountain in the Medicine Lake Highlands is largely made of this obsidian, has a lot of obsidian outcroppings. So this made the highlands a gathering place for many tribes. One thing I should say is that concurrently with being executive director of the Ecology Center, I also served as the Pitt River Tribe's environmental coordinator for 10 years, from 2000 to 2010. So I became very closely involved with that tribe and with the other tribes as well. And that's been really a great honor to be involved with this ancient culture and the way it looks at the land. And
so I'm sure that the tribe has weighed in along with the center then on not wanting geothermal exploration around Medicine Lake. Is that right?
Oh, the tribe really, we've been facilitators, but the tribe really takes the lead on this because it is their culture, essentially, and the hydrologic values, those two main issues that are driving our protection efforts for the last 20 years. And regarding their culture, the government actually has been in agreement about the culture. In 1999 and 2005, due to a lot of pressure from our side, the tribe's side, the National Register of Historic Places got involved, part of the Park Service, and designated the Medicine Lake Highlands as a traditional cultural district covering 113 square miles, which is a huge area. And coincidentally, the geothermal developments would fall, are proposed right smack into that area. So the impact would just be huge on native culture.
You mentioned, Michelle, that the leases were awarded in the 80s. Has there been any physical activity in the Medicine Lake Highlands toward geothermal exploration?
Yes. The Four Mile Hill project was a project that was approved back in 2000. Actually, they formed kind of a compromise in 2000, about 4 years into the issue. And the compromise was to approve the Four Mile Hill project just outside the caldera and deny the Telephone Flat project, which is very close to Medicine Lake itself. And that denial was reversed in 2002 by the Bush administration. So we have these two initial projects that have been proposed and that we've been challenging in the courts with the help of Stanford Environmental Law Clinic. We're very fortunate to have Stanford Law School on our side for all these years. And remind me your question again.
It was about the opposition and how it's been expressed. And it's been expressed in a number of ways, it sounds like, including in legal action, correct?
Legal action, yes. And there have been some demonstrations. Larger Native American organizations like the NCAI, National Congress of American Indians, Indigenous Environmental Network, all these organizations have come out against these projects, which, by the way, have increased from two initial proposals to now the proposal is for 10 power plants rather than just the two initial ones. So Calpine Corporation made public its intention to develop up to 480 megawatts. And that would just be huge. But we've been consistently winning in the courts. We won in, I think it was 2006, against the Four Mile Hill project, the first project that was approved. And since then, we've been challenging the Telephone Flat project. And in the course of challenging that project, we're challenging all 26 leases that were awarded throughout the Highlands. So that's all but one of the leases that we've been able to challenge. The other one falls under a statute of limitations. But we may be challenging that one, too.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about the Medicine Lake Highlands in Northern California, east of Mount Shasta, with Michelle Bertaszewski, who is the founder, former executive director, and now senior conservation consultant at the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. Now, I noticed that some of the responsible agencies, including the Bureau of Land Management, express confidence that geothermal can be exploited with no damage to the area. You would not be apparently sharing that confidence, Michelle.
That is, you know, even their own documents, their environmental impact statements, show differently. I mean, the EIS for Telephone Flat Project talks about irreversible, unmitigable damages to Native American culture. So I just think that's simply not true, that it wouldn't have damaging effects. You know, I could talk a little bit about what kind of damages would occur.
Yes, please.
Well, there would be ground-disturbing activities, including construction and operations, with clear cuts, new roads, continuous well drilling, miles of 36-inch above-ground pipelines, high-voltage transmission lines, with a corridor slicing 80 miles southward, huge power plants with million-gallon sumps containing toxic geothermal fluids, multiple cooling towers rising above the surrounding tree line, huge visual impacts, pollution, landscape fragmentation. Are you convinced?
I mean, it sounds like you've got quite a list of things there. So where do things stand, though? I mean, you mentioned that you've successfully challenged most of the leases in court, but does this mean that there's a chance for one to get through, that there will be development?
Well, we're challenging. We won in 2017. We won a major case in U.S. District Court in Sacramento that basically invalidated the lease extensions, the 40-year lease extensions on 26 geothermal leases. And this victory has been taken to the Ninth Circuit Court by BLM, by the U.S. government. And so now we're back in court for probably at least the next year. And we're quite confident, actually, because the Ninth Circuit has consistently seen what is at stake here and has consistently upheld the law, which, we're going by the law here. The law really, we're talking about the National Environmental Policy Act, the National Historic Preservation Act, Geothermal Steam Act. These are all laws that have been violated. So legally, I think we stand, we're quite confident legally. Another approach that we're taking is to convince the state of California to take a strong stand for these waters, because this is a major source for California. And there are many water issues in California, subsidence of groundwater aquifers and so on. But the sources have been kind of ignored, and so we're advocating for the high elevation volcanic source waters, which need to remain pure. I mean, if these source waters don't remain pure, what is pure anymore? It's a major value.
All right, so a lot of work left ahead, clearly here, but that number is still staggering, 40 million acre feet of clean, fresh water under the Medicine Lake Highlands, which, again, is not quite 10 times the capacity of Shasta Lake. So a lot to consider going on still at the Medicine Lake Highlands with ongoing efforts to, A, get in there for geothermal exploration, and, B, block that exploration. And on that side, you'll find Michelle Bertachevsky, Senior Conservation Consultant, founder and former Executive Director of the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us today to catch us up on the story.
May I say one more thing, please? I want to point the listeners to our website, mountshastaecology.org, and encourage people to become a mountain patron through our Patreon initiative.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.